He threw his soap onto the bank and swam out for about 40 feet and dived down. Here, the current suddenly became stronger and the depth much greater. He swam down, his eyes open until the light failed and his ears hurt. He continued on down, and then his fingers touched bottom. There was grass there, too. When he swam back to where the water was up to his waist, he saw that Alice had shed her clothes. She was in closer to the shore, but squatting so that the water was up to her neck. She was soaping her head and face. He called to Frigate.
"Why didn't you come in?"
"I'm guarding the Grails," Frigate said.
"Very good."
Burton swore under his breath. He should have thought of that and appointed somebody as a guard. He wasn't, in actuality, a good leader. He tended to let things go to pot, to permit them to disintegrate. Admit it. On Earth, he had been the head of many expeditions, none of which had been distinguished by efficiency or strong management. Yet, during the Crimean War, when he was head of Beetson's Irregulars, training the wild Turkish cavalry, the Bashi Bazooks, he had done quite well, far better than most. So he shouldn't be reprimanding himself. Lev Ruach climbed out of the water and ran his hands over his skinny body to take off the drops. Burton got out, too, and sat down beside him. Alice turned her back on him, whether on purpose or not, he had no way of knowing, of course.
"It's not just being young again that delights me," Lev said in his heavily accented English. "It's having this leg back."
He tapped his right knee.
"I lost it in a traffic accident on the New Jersey Turnpike when I was 50 years old.
He laughed and said,
"There was an irony to the situation that some might call fate. I had been captured by Arabs 2 years before when I was looking for minerals in the desert in the State of Israel, you understand."
"You mean Palestine," Burton said.
"The Jews founded an independent state in 1948. Lev said. "You wouldn't know about that, of course. I'll tell you all about it sometime. Anyway, I was captured and tortured by Arab guerrillas. I won't go into the details. It makes me sick to recall it. But I escaped that night, though not before bashing in the heads of two with a rock and shooting two more with a rifle. The others fled and I got away. I was lucky. An army patrol picked me up. However, 2 years later, when I was in the States driving down the turnpike, a truck, a big semi, I'll describe that later, too, cut in front of me and jackknifed, and I crashed into it. I was badly hurt, and my right leg was amputated below the knee. But the point of this story is that the truck driver had been born in Syria. So you see, the Arabs were out to get me, and they did, though they did not kill me. That job was done by a friend from Tau Ceti, though I can't say he did anything to humanity except hurry up its doom."
"What do you mean by that?" Burton said. "There were millions dying from famine. Even the States were on a strictly rationed diet, and pollution of our water, land, and air was killing other millions. The scientists said that half of Earth's oxygen supply would be cut off in 10 years because the phytoplankton of the oceans, they furnished half the world's oxygen, you know, were dying. The oceans were polluted."
"The oceans?"
"You don't believe it? Well, you died in 1890, so you find it hard to credit. But some people were predicting in 1968 exactly what did happen in 2008. I believed them. I was a biochemist. But most of the population, especially those who counted, the masses and the politicians, refused to believe until it was too late. Measures were taken as the situation got worse, but they were always too weak and too late, and fought against by groups that stood to lose money if effective measures were taken. But it's a long, sad story. And if we're to build houses, we'd best start immediately after lunch."
Alice came out of the river and ran her hands over her body. The sun and the breeze dried her off quickly. She picked up her grass clothes but didn't put them back on. Wilfrida asked her about them. Alice replied that they made her itch too much, but she would keep them to wear at night if it got cold. Alice was polite to Wilfrida, but obviously aloof. She had overheard much of the conversation, and so knew that Wilfrida had been a factory girl who had become a whore and then had died of syphilis. Or at least Wilfrida thought that the disease had killed her. She didn't remember dying. Undoubtedly, as she had said cheerily, she had lost her mind first. Alice, hearing this, moved even further away. Burton grinned, wondering what she would do if she knew that he had suffered from the same disease, caught from a slave girl in Cairo when he had been disguised as a Muslim during his trip to Mecca in 1853. He had been cured, and his mind hadn't been physically affected, though his mental suffering had been intense. But the point was that resurrection had given everybody a fresh, young, and undiseased body, and what a person had been on earth should not influence another's attitude toward them.